good evening. For those of you who are tuning into the meeting of the Inner Circle for the very first time, I welcome you and pray that you find the inspiration to meet me here every Thursday night. And for those of you who are tuning via the World Wide Web, thank you for caring to be with us right here than any other place on the planet. And for those of you who are the Inner Circle, the ones who make sure that you're always attuned to this frequency at this appointed time, I pray that you are always inspired to go deeper, to reach higher, to stand in greater degrees of integrity with the truth of yourselves. And for those of you who are my Inner Circle, thank you so much for your love, for your respect, for your service, for your being. I love you dearly. The meeting of the Inner Circle has always been intended to provide us with an opportunity to get clear about what's real, to be held in the reality that we are all these points of this absolute and supreme intelligence that is supremely intelligent, beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. It constitutes the all there is as existence itself, and we each are these points of it, designed divinely and divinely designed, and given opportunity to experience this corporal, temporal, material, physical realm of existence that is still held by absolute and supreme intelligence and absolute law. The now moment in which we're living requires us to really care to be in harmony with the wholeness of that which beats our hearts and breathes us. In all that we face and all that we see, beyond that which is creation, and no matter how we may have made adjustments to creation and how we may have manicured the lawns and bulldozed things and erected things and whatnot, there isn't anything or anybody, any agenda, any government, any people who can outthink the intelligence of existence, outlove it, outlast it, outplan it, outgive it, outlive it. And so there's already a victory and triumph that is already won. No matter how long men and mankind will fight themselves and each other, no matter how much warring they do, how much plotting and planning and undermining and genocide that they initiate, there is no way to circumvent the devastation that is already scheduled for this place as a result of the violation and the annihilation of our indigenous families, the corruption of Mother Earth, Mother Nature, the ecological balance of the planet. We have to realize that we are extremely vulnerable right now because there is inherent purpose in existence, and to be in a place and space where you have no purpose in being, there is no purpose for your being, and you're completely expendable. And so many ones are in a state of vexation as a result of all of the hype, the media hype about this worldwide pandemic of coronavirus, this version of it. But I'm saying to you, and I've been saying to you, that the pandemic that is genocide has been in full effect this entire time. And somehow you found a way to ignore so much of the ones who are dying daily. We have over 2,000-3,000 people, 4,000 people who are dying daily from heart attack, cancer, strokes. But we're not hyped up about that. And to put things in place without having a commitment to the wholeness of anyone is to miss something really vital. Because it is the commitment to the whole that allows what we do to really prosper. It is our commitment to wholeness and our commitment to the one that beats our heart, breathes us, has divinely designed us, has created all of that which is beauty and phenomenalness as a planet that is spinning in the realm of eternity already. But to ignore its law and its order, to ignore its purposes and its plan, to put ourselves and other ones in detriment consistently over time means that there will be detriment. And And because there have been seeds that have been sown for so long in the legislation, the perpetuation of sickness, illness, disease, and death as livelihood, the management of disease as livelihood, multi-trillion dollar global economy, in usurpation, devastation, bastardization, colonialization. You understand? So I'm just saying is that the coronavirus is not the real issue here. The real issue is what are you living for and what will you do to reverse some of the issues that we have already been participating with? Or do you care? And do you care enough to do the inner work of really clearing yourself and your cells from the violation of violated beings in terms of having been fed the flesh of pigs and the flesh of cows and the flesh of turkeys and the flesh of chicken and the flesh of fish and salmon and sushi and all of these things that have so much bacteria and virus and maggots and parasites and whatnot already dwelling in your body temple? Now, if these things were visible in your physical place where you live, you would be really outdone. You wouldn't even want to be there. You get cleaning crews or you abandon the place. But this is what the people are actually living in their body temples, and then refuse to be cleansed and then running from something that they cannot see, but then choosing that which they can see, which is creating sickness, illness, and disease. While being urged to stay home. We're in a now moment where we have to realize that no matter what they did, each one, each breathing, thinking being, with each and every breath and every beat of the heart, has a direct connect to that which beats their heart and that which breathes them, which are not the ones whose businesses these are. The ones who have stimulated their economy in the sale of flesh and dairy and eggs and chicken and fish and alcohol. They should have first closed the package stores. How can you build your immunity eating the flesh of dead animals and the aborted fetuses of chickens and the pus and mucus of cows and then drinking alcoholic beverages and sodas and all of the things that people are literally filling their shopping carts up with so that they can bunker home and have all of these things that they love so much? And there have been no voices as a part of the governor's camp or the mayor's camp or the hospital administration or whatever to give any public guidance as to how to really protect themselves from the pandemic of sickness, illness, and disease that is killing tens of thousands of people every month. We're in a now moment where we have to realize that we have so much available to us because what? And finally, we get a chance to kind of slow it down. You understand? I've been saying, be still, America. Walk softly, America. Let's boycott the death industries. Let's come to a point and place where we have a global work stoppage. Let's stop working for all of these purposes that no longer need to be supported. But even in light of what is happening as a result of people being urged to stay home, you're still supporting that which undermines you. And no matter how much you hear it, you feel entitled. But as men, the progenitor of lineages, and womb men, the perpetuator of lineages, undermining yourself when you have children means that you undermine your children too. And there could be no real salvation from it, from the detriment of it, from the cancer, from the heart disease, from the lupus, from the sarcoidosis, from the irritable bowel syndrome, for the polyps, from all of the cancers and all of this thing if we do not have a change in what it is we're reaching for. And to understand that in order for there to really be a re-establishment of the order, is that those ones who keep choosing death and those ones who keep perpetuating death and those ones who keep serving death will have to die. There's no way to avoid it. You may prolong it. But that tragic date with fate is coming. And so I'm suggesting that if you care to secure yourself, insulate yourself, protect yourself, then cleanse yourself. Fortify and edify yourself through liberating at the cellular level, because the methodology of oppression has been to oppress us at our cellular functioning so that we could not have outthought this. Or those ones who are so hell-bent on making everything faster and faster and faster so that the 5G, whatever, is being implemented and has a negative impact on those ones whose immunity has been so compromised as a result of being fed that which has no real substance, no real vitality, nothing that the body needs consistently over time, over generations, over decades. And so for all of the washing of hands that people are doing and all of the sanitation and the alcohol-laden sanitizers and whatnot that are seeping into the pores and going into the blood, but then you continue to feed off of that which has to rot and decay and decompose in your body temple where you actually live. So the cancer is already there. The cholesterol is building up. The fatty liver is becoming hardened, the sclerosis, the alcoholic beverages, the flesh of dead animals. These are the things that we really need to boycott or take off the market. These ones have made so much money off of all of this stuff, but there is no real way to prosper when you produce that which undermines the cellular integrity and the life and the lifespan and the longevity and the right of generations to be continued in existence under an agenda that is genocide and depopulation. We have to come to a place and space where those of us who care have to care to walk the face of this earth as some of the most dynamic and influential spirits on the planet in order to truly have greater impact and effect than the lies and the fear tactics and the behavior modification and the manipulation that is going on through the media and all of this to make this thing seem bigger and more awesome than what has already been in full effect for decades. We cannot begin to estimate or guesstimate the number of lives that have been lost through alcohol and tobacco and sugar. More than all of the wars that these people have ever fought. And so if you are taking time to get still, then take time to consciously care to ask and knock and seek as to how to reverse the issues that are already there in terms of the diabetes and the bloated bellies and all of the things that are already an issue that put us in a place where we're so vulnerable, gullible, manipulatable, incarceratable. These people shouldn't be able to make another freaking dime. But as long as you take whatever resources you have and buy that which undermines your own life currency, trading your life currency for a paper currency and taking that paper currency and buying that which you consume that undermines your life currency, and then invest nothing in learning how to regenerate your life currency, but then invest so much in trying to regenerate and recoup a paper currency. Well, now the gold bars and the gold this and all of that. And I'm just saying is that none of it has greater value than who and what you already are, but naked. But living under materialism and capitalism and colonialism and all of this under oppression of those who would think that they are superior to the rest of the planet that they are completely dependent upon, but then feel as though they have greater value for living than the other ones don't. It takes a sick people and ill people to create sickness, illness, and disease as popular and common activity, collective learning and education in the path of prosperity. It takes an ill people to think that there is prosperity in undermining children to the degree to which they will be guaranteed the next 40, 50, 60 years of addicts to alcohol and tobacco and sugar. That's a sick mentality. And so no matter how you dress it up in Brooke Brothers suits and whatnot, it is an impoverished state of mind. That wants to create wealth or riches or money in undermining that which is wealth, life currency, the dynamic, awesome potentiality of the inherent genius and divinity of every being. A wise people would invest in themselves and other ones, because in truth, there is literally only one self that beats our hearts and breathes us, that has the earth spinning and the sun blazing. And to be in violation of that which hosts you, to be in violation of that which has birthed you, to be in violation of that which has maintained and sustained you is the epitome of stupidity. Regardless of what hue of people we're talking about. But under the dogma and doctrine of freedom and free will to have your own theories and opinions, to be committed to a flag or to a country or to a corporate entity where you have no commitment to life, no commitment to the laws that govern existence itself, then there's no way to really be sustained consistently over time. We've seen civilizations have come and civilizations have fallen as a result of their abandonment of their care to master themselves and to be in integrity with the truth of the divinity of life itself. The now moment in which we're in gives us an opportunity for clarity. Clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of bloodstream, clarity of heart and intention and will, clarity of purpose, mission. And to think that this virus can hit one family member and not hit everybody else in the family. Or that it could just go worldwide without there being something else as foundation for it. But to know that when people are themselves choosing to feed off of the carcasses of dead animals, choosing to smoke and destroy the integrity of their lungs, which is the organ of their spirit, which connects them to that which breathes them and beats their heart, to be in a place where they are drinking that which is carbonated beverage in phosphoric acid and aluminum cans, plastic bottles. To know that there is no real wealth. That one can have. Robbing the wealth of the people and the children. And so we, the people, have to come to a point and place where we care to raise completely up. And this is our time right now to do it. And it's not that complicated an issue. It's about commitment, the commitment to living, the commitment to light, the commitment to wisdom, the commitment to walking in the integrity of your own awesomeness, the commitment to being all that you are as this point of an absolute and supreme intelligence that is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal, the commitment to thrive and to understand and understand that by virtue of our collective stance on behalf of life itself and the frequency and the vibration that we consciously choose to radiate and to be the bearers of in absolute love, which is the fulfillment of the law, that we are able to transcend, transform, and transmute this all to our greater good. Because yes, it has taken something extraordinary to put you in a place where you care to really live, but you have to think about this. You have to work to this. You cannot have killed yourself or done that which has undermined yourselves for decades, and then all of a sudden, you are clear, cleansed, purified just because you gave up meat. It's a work to really consecrate your body as the temple for the dwelling of the true spirit of the living gods and goddesses. See, identity theft happened thousands of years ago. And the divisiveness, even in how we're being encouraged to stop the spread of this thing and distancing and the churches are closed and all of this. And I'm saying, no, that's because there's a frequency and energy that comes when we are able to come together and lift our hearts up, open our hearts and open our minds and open our voices and whatnot, so that we are in one accord in calling forward and invoking the greatness of who we each are as these points of an absolute and supreme intelligence, that praying, that affirming, that declaring we have much greater power together than all of the things that you're afraid of. But they're afraid of that, which is why we could not play our drums. See, they've always understood that Native and Indigenous people were able to do a collective thing. And when they got into a collective dance and a collective song and had purpose in doing, it moves the elements. It brought the rain. It did whatever it needed to do, because we have power and authority in this realm over things. We can set new conditions by virtue of how it is we are being, what it is we're thinking, what it is we're saying, how it is we're living, our orientation with that which beats our hearts and breathes us. It is our time to embrace the fullness of who we are and what we are, and to commit to the purpose in existence in self-actualizing, self-realizing, and walking harmoniously in the divinity of existence itself. And for all of the manipulation that these people do, of bacteria and viruses and genes and hormones and chromosomes and all of the things that they're doing, creating biological warfare and chemical warfare and whatnot. And I'm saying, there is no way in hell that you'll be able to survive it. If we have to shake, quiver, and quake, if the volcanoes have to become active, whatever. Understand that the intelligence of existence is intelligent enough to know how to continuously perpetuate itself. And because it's all there is, then our ability to align ourselves with it, to respect it, to have reverence, appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving for our being these points of it, to come to a point where you were willing to do whatever it takes to be completely cleared, cleansed, purified, renewed, rebirthed, regenerated, rejuvenated, revitalized, and revivified, so the intelligence of your being can be fully active and there's nothing that man can create that is greater than it. But they would rather you be in fear and walk around breathing your carbon dioxide, which you should be releasing. The earth is spinning. The air is being cleansed and purified. That which you're afraid of is already lurking deep inside your own tissues. But your body is so intelligent that once you reach for that which gives it life, hydration, oxygenation, mineralization, cellular regeneration and liberation, then opening up all channels of elimination, then there is no way that you can be ill or sick. You will be healing. And in your wholeness, you have right mind, right thought, right action. In your wholeness, we are not perpetuating divisiveness and fear and warfare and chaos and manipulation and violation. But there's a peace and a poise and a power that comes with the integrity of our being harmonized with the intelligence of existence itself. That is all there is. We can outthink it, outlast it, war against it, and survive it. You're being called to rise through the purification and the consecration of your body temples for the re-enthronement of the true spirits of the living gods and goddesses that we each are dwelling in this realm of eternity upon a planet that is hostess for embryonic gods and goddesses. You're in tune to the meeting of the inner circle, and this is Adama, your voice of resurrection and heraldess of the eternal. Good evening, and this is Adama, thanking you for being right where you are in this now moment of eternity. For those of you who are tuning in for the very first time, I'd like to welcome you. For those of you who are my inner circle, for those of you who try to make sure you're always attuned anytime that I'm speaking, I am so grateful, so appreciative, and so delighted for those of you who are my inner circle, the ones who have been with me and we've shared life and love together. I am so grateful and so appreciative. So I've grown so much and am so, so very blessed to stand in this now moment of eternity. Anytime I come to the airways, I am coming specifically with the intention to exalt the reality of our collective presence as a global humanity, that we are all held in the reality of absolute and supreme intelligence, and we are all so absolutely and supremely blessed to have this opportunity to breathe with each and every breath and every beat of our hearts and every step that we take. We have been socialized to be in a place and space where we take ourselves for granted, where we think little of ourselves unless we have a lot of things or a lot of education, a lot of this, a lot of that. And the reality of it is that no matter how much we try to acquire, no matter how much we put ourselves in a position to seek this and seek that and whatever. You know, the world is really in a place where everybody needs to be in a position where we get more support in being in the light and the truth of all that we each are as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of absolute and supreme intelligence. We're in a day and time in which humanity and humankind and Mother Earth and Mother Nature and all of the creatures are really fighting for our rights to live. We should be exalting a full life's urge, but because of there being a world-conquering rampage to make sure that we are glib about having to die from something anyway, and we have so much support towards alcohol and tobacco and cigarettes and doing all kinds of things that undermine our cellular integrity, our optimum functioning, our capacity to really think, to really understand what the proper orientation in being upon the planet really is. And so I'm the one to remind us that there is absolute law that governs life. There's absolute law that governs existence. And we each are in this now moment of eternity as a blessing on behalf of the lineages that we represent, that we each are sharing a now moment that is requiring each of us, regardless of our ethnicity, regardless of what hue of people we are, our religious training, our socioeconomic status, our education, or any of the things that we have, to come to a point and place where we value life itself. And we will respect life and the order of life and the right of all beings and all races and all nations to have the right to their lives. We are in a place and space where there are too many who are so far out of alignment that they will serve anybody's purposes for a dang on dollar. We are in a place and space where we need to understand that nobody can license you, certify you, degree you, educate you, or employ you to create a livelihood that works towards the detriment of anything or anybody and think that you really are prospering. We're in a now moment that we have to take a break to really have an assessment with ourselves about what it is we're truly living for, what really matters to us. If you have not already had to say goodbye to your parents because they have made transition from the planet, if you have all of your siblings and all of your loved ones and whatnot, and you have not had to say goodbye to anybody, then consider yourself blessed. If you have a family that is intact and that loves each other and supports each other, and there's no bickering and divisiveness. But most of our families are torn apart by some degree of whatever. It's like it doesn't even matter what it is. The bottom line is that our families should be striving for wholeness. We should be striving for that which brings forward our generational wealth. We are under a system of global oppression, and the intention is to make sure that we are divided within ourselves, putting ourselves in a position where we're no longer supporting our own lives. We're doing things on a daily basis that undermine ourselves. And now is the time for us to realize that you have more power now. You have more opportunity for education, more life, more wisdom, more truth, more of everything that has ever been needed, so that we are properly oriented and properly aligned with that which truly gives us the opportunity to be successful in our living. And the true parameters of success is that we are in absolute integrity with the light and the truth and the wisdom and the fulfillment of the law that is love, for that is the only way that we can truly know peace. You cannot get peace from warring. You cannot get peace from allowing people to intimidate you to the degree to which you don't stand up for yourself. Peace does not come as a result of you compromising who and what you are. Peace only comes when you have taken responsibility to understand the real power that love is. For love is the harmony of existence itself. Love is that which we all are responding and can respond to. Everything in existence responds to love, no matter what form of being it is. Even the plants, nature, everything responds to love. Love is the real power there is. And when we are in a place and space where we are consistently inebriating, intoxicating, filling ourselves with all manners of things that defile our bloodstream, that put us in a position where we are not whole, we're not exalting a full life's urge, that we're not really loving ourselves. And we need to be in a place and space where we understand what that looks like. Loving ourselves looks like we will nourish ourselves, that we are not consistently applying ourselves to doing things that undermine or risk our lives, that we're taking the time to make sure that we have more of what is really required in order for us to heal, to cleanse, to be purified, renewed, rebirthed, regenerated, rejuvenated, revitalized, and revivified in the light and the truth of all that we each are as these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of that absolute and supreme intelligence. I am the one who really wants you to really honor yourself and honor your lineages and honor the legacy of the lineages that you represent. We're in a culture that exalts men, the lives of men. We see statues of men everywhere. You know, we have great men that came from great women. You understand? Now, in other places in the world, they don't exalt Jesus. They exalt the Madonna and the baby. They exalt Mary and Jesus. They exalt the feminine. In addition to, you understand? And we're in a place and space where we have to get reoriented, because honoring any man is not the same thing as honoring that which beats your heart, honoring that which breeds you, honoring that which maintains and sustains you. We're in a place where the socialization puts us in a position where we get emotionally attached to the stories of people, and then we begin to exalt the characters of these stories, without even exalting the wombs and the women that we've come through, without exalting our parentage, our grandparentage, our great-grandparentage, our heritage. We are in a place and space where we need to exalt that which is the intelligence of our own being, that which you all refer to as God. Because that's what really is needed in our now moment. We have so many people that give lip service to God, but they support the violation and the annihilation of other beings and then feed off their body parts, their body fluids, their fetuses. They inebriate and intoxicate themselves. But then they go to church on Sunday and ask for forgiveness and scream and hoop and holler and whatnot as if they were really applying themselves to the intelligence of their being, which is the God that should be present in these vehicles, in these temples. We're in a now moment that requires us to get serious about our living, get serious about our loving, get serious about having a wholehearted intention to harmonize ourselves with the laws that govern our being. Because we have the responsibility to rise, to be in a place and space where we are not supporting that which need no longer be supported. If capitalism requires slavery, and capitalism does require slavery, then we cannot think that being a successful capitalist is really success in this life. We're in a vibration where we have to be strong enough to think a greater thought than that which has set the tone for warfare and starvation and homelessness and hopelessness and whatnot. And that is the perpetuation of sickness, illness, disease, and death through creating an economy that perpetuates non-food stuff, stuff that has no vitality, nothing that the body needs. It does not support life. And I refer to these products as being distributed, manufacturing, produced, and marketed and whatnot by those who comprise what I refer to as the corporate deities of death. And these are your soda companies, your fast food companies, your candy and sugar and cigarette and tobacco and alcohol and all of these things which have already proven themselves to be completely detrimental to those who consume it. And now we're in a place and space where we have more access to these things than we do to real food. And this should never be common. We were socialized from the time we were children to care, to want to be out of alignment. They had candy cigarettes for us. You know, they had little sparkling drinks to make us think that we were drinking beer like our parents. We are in a place and space where we have to understand that those who market poison to children are out of alignment with duty, obligation, and responsibility as men, the progenitor of lineages, and women, the perpetuator of lineages of people. Most of us are seeing our family members sick, ill, and diseased as a result of them consistently reaching for the flesh of dead animals, the aborted fetuses of chickens, the pus and mucus of cows, artificially colored, artificially flavored, alcohol, tobacco, sugary things, and all of this garbage. And now is our time to realize that you cannot reclaim your health. You cannot reverse sickness, illness, and disease by going to the hospitals, that which are the trauma centers, and just having surgical procedures done. And then you come out and do the same thing that got you there. We're in a now moment that requires us to really care to be corrected. Care to be in a place and space where it matters to us that we are exalting a full life's urge. We do nothing to undermine ourselves or ourselves. That we are in a place where we are mature enough to understand duty, obligation, and responsibility, to understand how to perpetuate our healing for ourselves, our partners, our mates, our children, our grandchildren. Because we will never have anything greater than ourselves. People find out too late after their loved ones are making transition that all of the time that they spent away doing all of these things that they thought were so important was just that which kept them away from their family members. And so I'm here to remind you that we're in a now moment that requires us to care to be correct, care to be healed, care to be whole. We will never have anything greater than ourselves. I was driving down the highway and I was looking at, you know, all of the fancy cars and trucks, and looking at how fast we could go, and looking at the ones who were pulled over on the side with flat tires and, you know, steam up on their under their hoods and all of this, and realize that, you know, we spend so much time paying for and upkeeping our cars and our trucks and our motorcycles and whatnot, that we invest more money and more energy keeping these vehicles running than these body temples that are the vehicles and vessels for our spirits. These temples are the spirit of the true and living God, and our duty, obligation, and responsibility in being here is to care to be in a place and space where you are in that harmony with the laws that govern life, that you are honoring your gifts. You will never have anything that is greater than who and what you already are. But naked, these people have hoodwinked and bamboozled you into thinking that you're nothing unless you have Jesus, unless you have education, unless you have money, unless you have all of these things. They go throughout the world where the people have lush greenery and waterfalls and all manners of medicines growing up as herbs and all manners of animals and ecological systems in order, and make these people think that they're impoverished because they don't have big, tall buildings and all this polished wood, metal, and stone, when everything these people worship, everything that they are bringing to the Wall Street and whatnot, the beginning of which were us as black people, as enslavement. All right, so I'm just saying is that everything comes from the earth. The metals, the gold, the oil, the water, everything comes from the earth. And you cannot possibly think that there is any wisdom where you go in and extract all of these things that you give a value to, that you hoard and put away and desecrate Mother Earth herself and poison the water and poison and kill the people, and think that you have the right to be continued in existence. You have the right to be discontinued in existence. You really have the right to die. And because you have those who think that, oh, well, death is their natural fate and destiny, why would you be following these people? But on the other hand, you want to talk about following Jesus. And those who believe on Jesus will have eternal life. But if you live a life exalting wickedness and sinfulness, and you love having the forces of Satan, Lucifer, and the devil, the alcohol, the tobacco, the flesh of dead animals and whatnot, permeating and penetrating you in every atom and every cell of your being till it's created so much blockage and obstruction, you can't breathe, your blood won't flow, you've got to have your limbs and stuff cut off and whatnot, and then you're going to talk about, well, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's not possible. It's a lie. And they got you all believing lies. That you can love death and love consuming dead things and think that you're not going to be dead at the end of it. It says, know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is that we each are these living, loving, intelligent, potent, and immortal points of absolute and supreme intelligence. And that absolute and supreme intelligence is beginningless, endless, infinite, and eternal. It is that which is the designer of these bodies. It is beyond man and mankind. It is greater than all of the religions put together. And it is always in a consistent state of expansion and growth. And the progression of it is our progression, that we should be progressing. We should not be degenerating. We should be really coming to a point and place where those of us who are living now, who are the beneficiaries of all of the light and the love and the thoughts and the scriptures and all of the truths and whatnot, that other people have realized that they pass forward to us. And so we should be exalting a full life's urge, doing nothing to undermine ourselves, putting ourselves in a vibration where we are completely healed and whole because we know what to do. But most of us have been in these bodies for 20, 30, 40 years and have no clue as to how we function. But you can put cars together. You know how to screw nuts and bolts together and do refrigeration and do all these things, but you don't have a clue about yourself. And that's a tragedy and a travesty, because that is the wickedness of a system that takes responsibility to educate us and then tell us that we have to have the flesh of dead animals and the pus and mucus of cows and all this carbs and all this protein and whatnot to be healthy. And so we follow everything that they say, and you're a mess. You are a mess. And so to be less of a mess, you need to care. You need to care like you've never cared before, to be in a place where you are willing to do whatever it takes to get to the essence of the truth of yourself, the light of yourself, the beauty of yourself, the wealth of yourself. Because this is what lays foundation for every other thing. See, the laws are working all the time, so we can apply ourselves to accomplishing anything. But the reality is that everything becomes easier when we honor the gift that we've been given, which is in us. It is us. It is the physical body and the spiritual presence that is in this body, and the capacity for thinking and learning and contemplating and tapping the genetic inheritance that is charged in our DNA, and calling forth the strength and the power and the talents and the abilities and the greatness of the lineages that we represent. And I'm talking lineages. I'm not talking about just mama and daddy and grandmama and granddaddy, but I'm talking about 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 10 and 12 and 15 and 18 and 20 generations before and on before. These are our ancients. So when you all talk about, well, we were in Kemet and we were here and we were there, but you're going to give them lip service and all of that, but you're not going to apply yourself towards building on the legacy of which they have provided for us. But it's in us. And the nature of this garbage that they call food is that it distorts It puts us on a DNA lockdown where we cannot tap the greatness that is already in us. And it's hard to be great when you are in a place and space where you're loving inebriation and intoxication. You know, it's very difficult. And I've seen that, you know, those who used to be vegetarian, they used to be clean, they used to have all this discipline, they used to, as soon as they started sugar popping and alcohol drinking and whatnot, then your discipline goes out the door. That's why they make sure that we have access to this stuff, where you think that you can't party unless you high. You can't celebrate unless you've got all this toxicity around you. I know my son, when he was a little boy, he used to be trying to figure out, well, why is it that he didn't have birthday cake and ice cream like everybody else? We have watermelon. So I'm just saying is that we have to set the precedent, and the sisterhood, womanhood, has to come to a point where we will accept our duty, obligation, and responsibility to do the damage control, to clean ourselves up, to renew ourselves, to rebirth ourselves, to put ourselves in a place and space where we are healing from these fibroids. We're healing from all of the residues that have come from all of our mistakes. We have to really forgive ourselves for our bad choices and begin to really be radiant in a full effort to walk in the true nature of what a woman is, which is absolute love. That which is healing, that which is nourishing, that which is wisdom. And the defilement of womanhood, the degradation of womanhood, is the illness of the world. And so I'm so very grateful and I'm so very thankful that the laws are always working. You get what you ask for. The issue is, do you have the courage and do you have the wisdom to ask for the fullness of yourself? Do you care to cast off all of the illusions of limitation, oppression, depression, sickness, illness, and disease, to accept the order that comes when you apply yourself to loving that which beats your heart and that which breathes you and that which is the order of existence, loving it with your whole body, heart, mind, life, and soul? That's what we were told to do. And I guarantee you that whatever your issues are, whatever the dis-ease is, when you get support in remembering that you are already divine, we already dwell within the very presence of that reality that you all refer to as God, and it is life. But the fact that humanity and humankind desecrate, defile, murder, and kill over 10 billion of Mother Earth's creatures on an annual basis, most of which is wasted. And then the others of it is being used for food and other things, that this is part of the real tragic date with fate that's coming to humanity. That we have these creatures that are huge creatures traveling the waters of the earth. And the only thing that people can do is to get out there and slaughter them and kill them. And then lay their bodies up on ice and then ship them all over the place so people can eat the flesh of dead swordfish and dead tuna and dead this and dead that and dead the other. Why are you thinking that you can really live and be feeding off of the carcasses of dead beings? Because that's what you've been taught, and that's the lie. And those who taught that lie, that may be their appetite, but that's what makes them so wicked. And nobody asks, what makes these people so wicked? They're wicked because they love the kill. They're wicked because they love the spilling of blood. They love the carnage. They love the hunt. They love that. You could turn on the television anytime and see these people all up into the oceans, you know, just killing shark and killing this and killing that. In the woods, killing this, and in the jungles, killing this. And we were told not to kill, because that which you kill, that which you do unto others, is going to be done unto you. Because there is only one intelligence in existence. It is the eye that sees through all beings, and these beings, no matter how small or how large they are, they exalt a full life's urge. They do nothing to undermine themselves. They have the sense enough to know their food, excrete their waste, know their kind, perpetuate themselves, and exhibit all manners of fear or flight or fight when they sense that their lives are being threatened. And so it's time for us to get to the root of the issues in terms of how do we become a restored people? How do we cleanse ourselves, clear ourselves, forgive ourselves for our trespasses? But that's the work. That's the inner work that needs to be done. We do not, no one of us has to wait for the whole of us to become liberated before we walk in the light of liberation for ourselves. The masses of people cannot be liberated by legislation. The masses of people can only be liberated when each individual one decides and commits to living harmoniously with the law and thinking rightly in that any situation and circumstance does not have to be their detriment. Any situation and circumstance can be the leverage, can be the inspiration, can be the motivation for you taking the time to get real still, to get real clear, and to lift your voice unto your Creator and ask for that which is needed. Ask for it. Apply yourself unto it. They have us outside of having the inner standing to know that we don't need priests and popes and pastors to intercede for us. You've got to come to a point and place where you lift your own voice and you open your own heart and you do that which is truly in your own best interest in clearing, cleansing, purifying, and committing and consecrating your body, heart, mind, life, and soul to being whole, to being cleared and cleansed so that you have the opportunity to be truly harmonized in the light of God, the truth of God, to be renewed as this point of the presence of God, to have the personal integrity, the cellular integrity, to be highly ethical, very moral, to be creative and dynamic, and setting the precedent for that which needs to happen so that our generations can be secured. We're in a now moment of eternity requires you to commit to that which is the process of salvation and deliverance from the wickedness and the degradation, the violation, the adulteration, all of those things that have us in a position where the hospitals are filled with all of those who have lost their way. If you really care, then care to be whole. You're in tune to Adama, your voice of resurrection.